Like that last week, T.J. Thompson poured water into the baptismal bowl and spoke to us about our baptism. We find the way we use our gifts is an expression of our baptism, of the way we believe that God has called us. And that's the song that Joseph and Sarah just sang about. You make beautiful things out of dust and out of us. Isn't that what you said? Weren't those the words? I pray that it's true. When it's me, I hope there's something beautiful in what God makes. And I know you would feel the same and would ask that same thing. Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We gather to worship today here at this communion table with a Category 5 hurricane named Dorian roaring through the Atlantic Ocean toward the east coast of Florida or Georgia or South Carolina or somewhere, and stopping to visit the Bahamas on their way. And I think that means that today we are called to be people of prayer. Whatever we do in our worship today, let it be prayer. Whatever we sing or say or think about or affirm, let it be in prayer. Let us hold up one another and our church and our communities in prayer. And as we turn to the scripture today that Angie read from the Message, and in some of the coming weeks, the scripture is, I invite us to look at some of the messages from Jeremiah. Because the lectionary over the next, well, for 9 weeks, starting last week and today and 9 weeks, we'll be looking at Jeremiah. And it seemed to me that's a significant study, a significant time for us to study together. So today I want to lift up two messages from you and us from the prophet Jeremiah. One message is about Jeremiah and about us, and the other message is about God. First, there's a message for Jeremiah and for each one of us, and it is this profound message that God knows us, that God knows you and God knows me. So I invite you to say your name out loud. What is your name? Did you say it? Say it again. Jenny. God knows you. God knows your name. God knows your official name on your birth certificate or your marriage license or whatever legal thing you like. But God also knows the name you're called in your heart. God knows you. God has known us from the moment of our conception. We read that in Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Jeremiah 1. Look at the verbs. God formed Jeremiah. God knew Jeremiah. God consecrated Jeremiah. God appointed Jeremiah. And God formed, knew, consecrated, and appointed us too. In Jeremiah's case, he was consecrated and appointed to be a prophet. And each of us may have a different role to play. But God has formed and knows us and has set us apart and sends us out. For God has work for us to do. And some of that work, my friends, is the work of enjoying life. Enjoying the life and the world designed by God for us. It's one reason I like this window so much. we can see out. And God has also given us the work of speaking and acting out, living out God's love and God's expectations for people. Jobs for us to do. Does it matter if we're too young? What if we're too old? Matter if we're too old? Anybody here too old to serve God? Helen, are you too old? After January, I'll ask you again. In January, you should be 101. Does it matter if we're tongue-tied or if we speak with an accent or if we have a lisp? Does it matter if we're too short or too tall or made different in some way? There was a man in one of the churches before I went to seminary. I was working as a Christian educator, and he was 6'8". And his family came to our church, and they were new. And one day I ran into him in the hall. I mean, I almost literally ran into his belt buckle. And I said, are you Tom Jones? And he looked at me funny, because who else could he have been? And I said, I haven't met you yet. And he was almost too tall for me to see. Does it matter? Does it matter if we're scared or if we're shy or if we're confused? I'm going to tell you, no, it doesn't. We are still known by God and loved by God. God still knows our name. God still has appointed us. Listen to what God said. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. Do not be afraid, God says, for I am with you. So God knows us, and God has work for us, for you and for me to do, and God is with us, not God will be with us, but God is with us. Those are strong words. That's a strong affirmation. Just as God promised Jeremiah, God promises us as well. And one more thing in this piece of what God has said to Jeremiah in chapter 1. In verse 5, God says, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Woe! Not to Clearwater, not to Largo, but to the nations. That's really something. That's really something, my friends. If you and I are like Jeremiah, we surely have a message, a responsibility to the whole world, not just to our household or our church or our small block, but the nations, the world. It makes me wonder on this day of prayer how I might be living my life so as to be some kind of witness to the world. A witness of who God is. A witness of what God has shown me about what's right and wrong, about what's valuable. If we all find ways to live like that, then there is truly ground for hope in our world. I believe that, and I think we can all believe it. So that's the first message. God knows you and me and has a job for us. But second, there's a message here about our God, and it's a reassuring message, a reminder that God is God. God is generous and dependable and trustworthy and strong and wise and powerful. God is, I love this in the passage, God is the fountain of living water. Picture a fountain in a park bubbling up. You can hear it. You can put your hand in and feel it. You might even see fish swimming around or birds dipping in to take a bath. God is the fountain of living water. Well, there's a tendency for people to try to create gods of their own devising. There was in the old days. God talks in Jeremiah about that, but I think it's true even now. Just before Jeremiah's time, there was a king named Manasseh, a king in Judah, and he built shrines and altars on the hills, shrines to the Baals, the fertility gods of the neighboring nations. And Manasseh turned to those other gods, and by his example then, he encouraged the people of Israel, God's own people, to worship those other gods. Leaders have that kind of influence, as we know, but so do we. Each of us in the people that are part of our sphere, they are influenced by what we do and what we say. Those people, you see, were turning to gods that were not gods at all. Sir Windbag, is that what it said? If we worship Sir Windbag, we become windbags ourselves. Or maybe because we're windbags, we look to Sir Windbag to be our God. So here in Jeremiah 2, we find the reminder of who God is and what God has done. God says, I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. Throughout the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, throughout the scriptures, God reminds his people, I brought you to this land. So plentiful. The earth we know was designed to have enough for all to eat. Air, good air for us to breathe. But what had the people done but use the land badly and spoil its resources? Does that sound familiar in any way, I wonder? So God reminds them through Jeremiah. He's pretty blunt about it. He says, my people have committed two evils. First, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And second, they have dug out cisterns for themselves. So how many of you know what a cistern is? How many of you have seen a cistern? How many of you ever fell in one? No. You might have. God shows the irony. A cistern is a hole in the ground that catches the water, the rainwater or the runoff water, so that the water can then be used. But God shows the irony. The people of Israel have dug cisterns, but they turned out to be cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Why would you turn your back on the God who is the fountain of living water and then worship gods who can't hold water at all? When you have a fresh and lovely fountain of pure, flowing, living water and you dig a flawed cistern that cannot hold water at all, that is misguided. And in Jeremiah, it's called an evil. So friends, we so often fill our lives with values and priorities that turn out to be empty when God has already filled our lives and our world with the abundance of what life can really be. A plentiful land of fruits and good things that if we care for it, it can provide for all. So listen to Jeremiah's messages to us today and remember that God knows who we are and is with us in our work, and that our God is generous, dependable, trustworthy, strong, wise, powerful. Our God is the fountain of living water where we can find life. Please pray with me. We stand before you, O God, aware that you know who we are, you know our names, you know what you have asked of us, what you have planned for us to do, you know what brings us joy, and you know what fills us with fear. You know what lies ahead for us in ways that we cannot know. But help us to trust you, to see how much life you bring what your incredible gifts are for us. And help us to affirm those gifts as we live our lives walking with you. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with you. May it be so. Amen.